In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, once again, when you think in terms of the law, think of it the way that James wrote about it, the perfect law of liberty. This book of the law, this book, this perfect law of liberty shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now when you see this, once again remember that this was prophetical in nature, because the only way a person can do what God's Word says is if they have a new nature on the inside. God told them, obey this. Here's the law. Here's the Word. Now you obey this. This is what it takes to be righteous in my sight. But they couldn't. And the reason they couldn't was because that they still had that sin nature on the inside. But once we're born again, we now have a new nature given to us by God. That nature enables us to do what God's Word says. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. So the moment that we receive Jesus Christ and we're born again, God sees us as having fulfilled the requirements of the law, and the new nature then that we have gives us the strength and the ability to come in line with whatever it is that God wants us to do. And so He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That tells us that confession of the Word has something to do with meditation of the Word. And He says, once you do this, first part of verse 8, it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now I want you to see here where He says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And what that means is this. The only way that you can make your way prosperous is if you know what to do when a choice comes up. And He says, you will be able to make your way prosperous. Now see, this again talks about the transforming of our mind to be in line with the mind of Christ. He says, you will be able to make your way prosperous. You will know what decisions to make. You will understand what my will is, and you'll know where to go. You'll know where to turn. You'll know what to do. He says, you will be able to make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Now look again over in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, so here's what we've learned then, once again, from those two passages, Joshua and Psalms. We've learned that if we will meditate in the Word of God, and we apply those principles of study and meditation, we're going to prosper in everything that we do. We will have success in everything that we do. We won't fail. Now let those words sink in. He says, if you will study and meditate on my Word day and night, everything that you put your hand to will prosper. You will be prosperous. You will have good success. Now, folks, we can't deny that that's in there. This is the Word of God. This is a promise that God has said to us. And I doubt if there's a person in this room that would say, well, you know, God's a liar. I mean, this really isn't true. Oh, we wouldn't be so bold as to say something that stupid. We know that this is the Word of God, and we know that the Word of God is true. And He says, meditate and study day and night, be prosperous in everything, and have good success. Meditate and study day and night, be prosperous and have success in everything. Now, here's the thing. People, we read this. We see that in there. And somebody might come along and say, "You're right, Brother Jim. I can't deny that those words are in the Bible. I'm born again. I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I see what we just read. I see it in there. I cannot deny these words that I've just read." Yes, you are correct. God did say in His Word, if you'll meditate in My Word day and night, He says, I'll be prosperous. I'll have success in everything that I do. It's in there. But there's one problem here. Why don't I want to meditate? I can't deny what I see in here. I can't deny what you shared up to this point about study and meditation, what it can do in my life, because I've seen it right in the Word of God, what you've shown me. But why is it I don't want to spend the time at home studying and meditating the Word like I've learned up to this point? Why don't I want to? If I see right in there that I'll be prosperous and have good success in everything, why on earth don't I want to meditate? I mean, I hear these great sermons and I hear these messages and I get inspired for a few minutes while I'm here and I'm thinking, boy, when I get home, look out, Bible. But something happens from the moment that I walk out the doors of the church and get in my car and I go home. Something happens from that moment on the rest of the week until I come back in here on Sunday morning again. Why don't I want to meditate? Why am I not like what Jesus talked about, hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Why don't I want to? You know what? If we went through this room, every person in here would probably, if it was fess up time, every person in here would probably say, yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me. I hear these messages. I see it in the Word. I can't deny what the Bible says. And I know God's not a liar. But I just don't feel like it. Yet I know on the inside, if I do, I will be prosperous. I will have good success in everything. But yet, I just don't want to. Now, why not? I mean, there's got to be a reason. Am I weird? Am I messed up? Do I have a mental problem? Am I demon-possessed? Do I need something cast out of me? I mean, why don't I want to meditate and study the Word? Well, there's a reason. First off, look over in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. And take a look, beginning in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now look at that verse 23 again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now here's what's happened. Just like a natural seed is planted and a natural person is born, a spiritual seed was planted in you the moment that you called out to Jesus to be born again. It wasn't the corruptible seed of man, the corruptible seed producing flesh, but it was the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Now, the moment that that incorruptible seed was planted in you, because you yielded yourself, as a bride yields herself to her groom, you yielded yourself to the Lord, and His incorruptible seed of the Spirit, of the Word, was planted inside you, and you were born again. The new man was born on the inside. Now this Word, the seed of this Word by which you were born again, it liveth and it abideth forever. It never passes away. It is eternal in nature. What that means is, the new man on the inside of you that has been birthed spiritually as a result of this union with Jesus and the incorruptible seed of the Word planted in you, this new man on the inside, birthed of the eternal Word, is also eternal in nature. It is the nature of God. Now, because you've been born again or experienced a second birth or a new birth that came about from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, just like a human, a flesh person, a corruptible flesh man hungers for the natural things to feed that natural body, the spirit man on the inside hungers for those spiritual things of the Word of God. Just like that you feed your physical man with physical food, the spiritual man can only be fed with spiritual food, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, remember what He said there in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So in other words, He wasn't denying the need for physical food to sustain the physical body, but He was saying that is not the source of life. The source of life, true, genuine life, must be the Word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now again, He was speaking prophetically. You're born again, or you receive that life through Jesus Christ, believing on Him for salvation, and the seed of the Word of God is planted on the inside of you. Now, there are two people that have to be fed. The spirit man and the physical man. What's happened is, we've become so good at feeding the physical man that as Christians, we've ignored the spiritual man on the inside. The spiritual man... let me clue you in on something right here. Have you ever had times in your life, Christian, as a Christian, where you just felt real blucky on the inside? I mean, just kind of like you're in a bad mood. You're just kind of, and you don't know why. Grace, you've never been like that, have you? You don't know why you feel like that. I mean, everything's going fine. Bills are paid. I mean, you know, you just went out and had a nice dinner. I mean, everything seems to be fine. You haven't been fighting with the husband or the wife or the kids. The dog hasn't chewed up anything lately. Everything's going great, but yet you still got this blah feeling on the inside, and you don't know why. Let me clue you in. That is your spirit man on the inside of you saying, hey, what about me? You just stuffed 12 hot dogs down your gullet. You stretched out your belly another 2 inches. But what about me? Have you forgotten about me? That's what that blucky feeling is. It's your spirit man on the inside crying out. Those are spiritual hunger pains. And your spirit man is saying, feed me. Those French fries were great, yeah. But I need something now. Feed me. That's your spirit man crying out to be fed. And there's only one way you're going to do that. Preaching won't satisfy it. You've got to feed yourself with the Word. See, a shepherd can lead the sheep to the pasture, but can't make the sheep eat. I can present the word over and over and over again, but I can't make you feed on it. This is something that you have to do. I can take you to a restaurant and sit you down in front of a prime rib dinner. I can take the spoon, the fork, and the knife and stick them in your hand, but I can't make you cut that steak and that potato. I can't make you eat. You have to do that. Your spirit man craves for the things of God. And so it's not so much that you don't want to, meaning that you don't want to meditate. Your spirit man does. But you've become very good at overriding those spiritual desires through the flesh. Now let me give you an idea. Let me show you something here. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Show you how some of this process works. In fact, if you've got a bookmark, go ahead and put it here in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now here's what's happening. If you don't believe that the Word is going to produce in your life the prosperous and successful life that the Word says it will produce in you, you won't meditate. If you really don't believe that it's going to do everything that it says it will do, you're not going to get into the Word. Think about it now. If I were to come up to you and say, now look, here are the directions to a little storage building. There's a big, like, travel suitcase. I mean, a real big one in there. The kind people might use when they go on a trip on an ocean liner. And I know for a fact that there's $1 million in real, genuine $20 bills in that case. Here are the directions to get to it. Here's the key to the door, and here's the key to the case. I guarantee you it's there. If you'll go to it, if you'll follow those directions, you'll get that money. It'll be yours. Well, Pastor, why don't you want that money? Well, Lord told me to let you have it. Now, if you believe me, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to take a look at those directions, and you're going to say, boy, that's pretty far off, way out there in the middle of Idaho. It's going to take about, a few days to get out there and find this place, but I mean, Pastor, he's never lied before. He's not a liar. $1 million. Sounds to me like it's going to be worth driving out there to get this. And so you trust me. You take me at your word, at my word, and you drive out there. It takes you, by the time you find it, way up in the mountains and all this stuff, it took you 5 days to get there, but you walk into that room and there's the trunk. You open the trunk and sure enough, $1 million in cash in that trunk. And the only reason you got that money was because you believed me. And you made the effort to get out there. You spent the money for the gas, the money for motel rooms, the money for, whatever it took for you to get from here to there, you did it. Because you believed me. And now, you're $1 million richer. Likewise, let's say I tell you, I want you to come over to my house today. Man, I've got dinner in the oven. I mean, we're going to have just this big old spread. I want you to come over to the house today, and I'm going to feed you. And you say, okay, boy, it sounds good. And so after church, we go out. I get in my car. You get in your car. I come out of the parking lot, and I turn right. You come out of the parking lot, and you turn left. And the people in the car with you say, where are you going? Pastor said, follow him and you'll get to the house. He's got dinner waiting for us. And you say, you can't trust that guy. All he does is stand up on Sunday mornings, flap his jaws for a while, expect us to believe everything he says. You think he's really got dinner for us? Give me a break. No, we're going down over here. We're going to go to McDonald's and get us one of those old greasy burgers and some greasy French fries and a greasy apple dumpling and a sugary Coke. And we're just going to have ourselves a big old dinner. See, you didn't believe me. I'll be at home eating good food. You'll be at McDonald's swallowing that whatever it is that they make their burgers out of. Because you didn't believe me. It's the same way with meditation in the Word. If you honestly, truly, beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you really did believe that meditation and study in this Word, the kind of meditation and study that God has presented to us in His Word, if you really believed that it would produce in you the kind of prosperous and successful life that it says it will produce, you'd meditate. But you really don't believe it. Now, I know you say you do. We all say we do. Oh, I know, that's the Word of God and I believe it. Yes, sirree, Bob. But if I really did believe it, I'd do it. Why did you buy the car that you bought? Somebody told you something about that car or about that truck and you believed them. They told you it would do this and it would do that, had this kind of motor, it would perform this way, it had power this, it had power that, it would give you this kind of gas mileage and on and on and on. You believed them. You experienced it to a certain degree when you test drove it. But everything else that they told you, the kind of things that are only produced over time, you believed them. And so you spent thousands of dollars on that vehicle based on what someone told you. And now here's the Word of God. God says, if you'll meditate in My Word day and night, don't let it depart from you. If you will give yourself over to meditation, then everything you do will be successful. You will be prosperous in everything that you do. But you have to believe me first. So, we say we're Christians. And we say, well, sure, I believe the Word of God. Then why is it that we don't meditate? Why is it that we say we believe, but we really don't believe? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take a look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. What kind of imaginations is he talking about? Well, see, the reason that you honestly don't believe that meditating on the Word of God is going to produce in you everything that the Word of God says meditation will produce is because there are imaginations in your life. Here's what I mean by that. It's very difficult for you, with your own reasoning, to understand how just meditating, using the principles of meditation that we've learned, how doing that with these black ink words, sometimes red ink, on white paper, how can that do anything? Your mind tells you it's stupid because you've read books and magazines and newspapers all of your life and it's never done anything for you. And so mentally, you associate this book with everything else you've read because it looks like everything else that you've ever read in your life. It looks like a newspaper. It looks like a comic book. It looks like a textbook in school. It looks the same. And those things never did anything for you. How in the world are you telling me, how can you really, honestly, truthfully expect me to believe that doing nothing but meditating on what this has to say is going to change my life in any way, shape, or form? And so we begin to reason this out.
Well, the preacher said, if I meditate, my life's going to change. Well, I tried it for 15 minutes on Monday and nothing's happened. Oh, yeah. We forgot about the part, the day and night part, the constant part. Meditation has to be a lifestyle. It's just like you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, here, I diagnose your problem as such and such. Now I'll give you these pills. Now you take these pills and take them till they are gone. Even though the symptoms might disappear, you take these pills until all the pills are gone. And so what do? You go home, you take the pills. 2 days later, all the symptoms are gone, but you still got a week's worth of pills left. So you just, well, the doctor said, even though I have no symptoms, I'm still supposed to take these pills till they're all gone. And so you take those pills till they're all gone. Why? Because the doctor said, if you don't, even though the symptoms are gone, that stuff's lying dormant on the inside and it could shoot back up. It could flame back up again. You could have that problem all over again. And you'd be back in to see me a second time. Well, I don't want that to happen. So even though I don't have the symptoms, I'll take these pills till all the pills are gone. 10 days I took those pills, but the symptoms were gone for 8 of those days. Now, why did you do that? I mean, honestly, if you were to judge by your body and the way your body is reacting, there was no logical reason for you to continue to take those pills, but you did it because the doctor said, take the pills. God has said, meditate on my word day and night. Have a lifestyle of meditation. When you do, everything in your life, you will be prosperous. You will have good success in everything that you do. No area of your life will be left untouched by the power of my word, but you must meditate therein day and night. It has to be a lifestyle. And see, we'll believe a doctor about pills more than we'll believe the word of God and what he has to say. And so the reason that we say that we believe, but we really don't believe, is because we reason it out with our mind and we say, it doesn't make any sense that black ink on a white page could do anything for me. Oh, sure, it contains a lot of, good ideas and a lot of good teachings, and I know it's the Word of God, and I know that it lasts forever, and I know it'll never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will never pass away, and I know that God's not a liar, but it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And that's why we don't do it. It's because we can't get past human reasoning, or we haven't to this point gotten past human reasoning to accept God's word by faith. It's what he said over there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, where he says that the word preached wasn't mixed with faith, and so it didn't produce anything. See, what I have to do is I have to say, all right, God said if I meditate therein day and night, I'll prosper with good success in everything that I do. Therefore, God, I do not understand how. But your word tells me I'm the one that has to cast down the imaginations. God will not cast them down for you. You cast the imaginations down and you say, even though every part of me on the inside does not understand how meditating in this is going to do me any good, yet, Father, because you said it would, therefore, by faith, I'm going to meditate. And I'm going to begin to do this. And I've had people come up to me and say things like, would you pray for me? Please pray for me that God will give me a hunger to study His Word, to read His Word. Would you just lay your hands on me and minister to me that I'll have this consuming desire on the inside to meditate and to read? Would you pray for me, Pastor, for that? Out of respect, yes, I will. But guess what? It won't happen. Because I cannot pray into you a hunger for the Word of God. Because you see, that hunger already exists. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, of incorruptible. And if you begin to tune in to that new life that you've received, you'll understand there is a hunger on the inside
to meditate on the Word of God. See, I've prayed for people for a lot of things. I've prayed for people, you know, I got this pain, got that pain, this sickness, this family problem, this thing, that thing, the other. And I've prayed for people. People have been healed. People have been delivered. Situations and lives have been changed. I mean, things have happened in those areas. And I've had people come back up and say, well, you know, the moment that you prayed for me, such and such happened. And I'll tell you what, it's never been back, or it's completely changed since that time. It's never been the same. Everything's just been whatever. I have never, ever had anybody come up to me and say, pray for me that I would have a hunger, that God would just give me a hunger to meditate the Word. I have never had anybody come back to me and tell me, you know, 2 years ago when you prayed for me for a hunger to study and meditate the Word, ever since that time, I can't put it down. I get up in the morning extra early just so I can meditate. I can't wait till I get off work so I can go back home so I can meditate in the Word. I just can't put it down. It just consumes me, Pastor. Ever since you prayed for me, it's been like that. I've never, ever had anybody come and tell me that. You know why? It's because what you're really saying is, I want to have an emotional feeling on the inside that causes me to want to meditate on the Word. God doesn't deal with your emotions to make you feel like you want to read the Word. That's because you have to walk by faith, not by sight. So you mean, Pastor, that God's just going to leave me hanging out there? I mean, are you telling me that God's not going to do anything for me? Are you telling me that there's nothing I can do to get past this feeling that I don't want to meditate? I mean, I know I should. I hear about the benefits and I realize it's all true. But are you telling me that there is nothing that God will do for me? No, I didn't say that. What I said was, I cannot pray for you to cause inside you a hunger to meditate the Word of God. But there is something you can do. Now let me show you. Turn over to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is prophesying. He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now look back up at the beginning of verse 13. Jesus says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. The Spirit of truth. Now we know He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now Jesus was making reference to when He went to the Father, and the Father then would send the Holy Spirit to us. He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. What is truth? Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, verse 17, and He said, Father, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Therefore, when Jesus says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He is also saying, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of the Word, is come. Now look over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. Or verse 16, He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which we've learned that means the same thing as the Word, even the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the world, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then down in verse 26, He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So here's what Jesus is telling us so far, what we've learned in this. He says, God's going to send to you the Holy Spirit. Now, He's been dwelling with you. This Comforter has been dwelling with you, but He shall be dwelling in you. Once He does, He, the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the Word, the one who has given us the Word, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means divinely breathed forth by God's Holy Spirit. He says, when He, the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. What is truth? Truth is the Word of God. So when He, the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into all the Word, and He will teach you all things. What is all things that He is going to teach us? All things that are contained in the Word. So Jesus is telling us that when the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father to us, no longer dwelling just with us, but now dwelling on the inside of us, when we allow Him, He will begin to teach us all things contained in the Word of God, leading and guiding us into all the truth that the Word of God is. Now turn over to Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Now, in these two verses, real briefly, here's what He's saying. He's saying that there was a mystery that had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. He says, since the world began, there was a mystery that was kept secret. But then in verse 26, He talks about how that He draws the connection between that mystery and the Scriptures. And so what He's telling us here is that since the foundation of the world, there were mysteries that were kept secret in the Word of God. But now those mysteries are being revealed to us. Those mysteries have been given to us to understand, and so therefore God's doing something to cause these mysteries to be revealed or to be taught unto us. Well, we know that it has to do something with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll guide you into all truth. All truth is the Scripture. If the Scripture contains the mysteries, then that must mean that the Holy Spirit is going to work on my behalf to teach me those mysteries which had been kept secret since the foundation of the world, but now are revealed to us, or it's been given to us to understand these mysteries. So how in the world does the Holy Spirit do that? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 14, Paul says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." And in verse 2 he says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." So here's what happens. As I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, and I begin to pray in tongues, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to begin to open up this Word to me and begin to reveal to me the truths that have been contained in this Word, the mysteries that have been kept hidden from the foundation of the world, but now God has ordained that I should understand those mysteries. And so as I begin to pray in the Spirit, I am praying or releasing out of my spirit, birthed in me by the Holy Spirit, I'm beginning to pray those mysteries out. And as I begin to pray those mysteries out, the Holy Spirit begins to teach me these things, and He begins to reveal these things to me so that I can begin to understand everything that God has had in store for me from the foundation of the world, because God said the works were finished from before the foundation of the world. And as I begin to pray in tongues, the truths of the Word of God become reality to me, and I understand who I am in Jesus. I understand what I've become in Jesus, and everything that I have inherited through Jesus becomes manifest to me because the Holy Spirit has been given to me to reveal these things to me. Now let me explain how this works. I begin to pray, and I get in my prayer closet, and I go before God, and I begin to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says that I'm bypassing my understanding. My understanding is unfruitful, but my spirit is praying. I'm in perfect union with the Holy Spirit. And if I don't feel like sitting or kneeling, I can sit, and I'm praying. Then all of a sudden, something on the inside of me, I have this thought, this desire to read the book of 1 Thessalonians. I start to dismiss it. That's just me. That's just something to try and distract me. That's got to be the devil. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would Satan try to distract me to read the Bible? You know what I'm saying? And so I keep praying, but it won't go away. Here's what's happening. The Holy Spirit wants me to go over to 1 Thessalonians and start reading because He knows now is the time that I am ready to receive from God the understanding of truths contained in 1 Thessalonians that God wants to reveal unto me. Or maybe it's not a book. I may be praying in the Spirit and then all of a sudden, on the inside of me, I see a verse. Some book of the Bible, chapter 17, verse 18. And I just, it's like it's right there in front of me. Right on the inside, I can see it. Well, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit telling me, get your Bible, open up to that verse. There's something I want to show you in that. And so I open my Bible to that book, chapter 17, verse 18, and I begin to read. And all of a sudden, I see there's something in there. I've read it over and over and over again, but now all of a sudden, I see something in this I had never seen before. It's like it was hidden from me in the past. But now, God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is revealing this to me, and I'm seeing something in the Word that I've never known before. And then as I'm reading this, all of a sudden, He begins to reveal to me another verse, brings another verse, and I'm looking at this verse in the Bible, but on the inside of me, in my mind's eye, if you will, I'm seeing another verse, and I look at that one, and pretty soon, He's building a bridge from all of these passages together to cause me to understand a reality and a truth that God had placed in this Word, but up until the Holy Spirit had been sent, that truth had never been revealed to mankind. But now, God says, Jim, it's time for you to learn something. I want to take you to another step. And Holy Spirit, I want you to reveal this to him and teach him those things. I'll give you an example. Another example. You can go ahead and stand. Say, Lord, have mercy. I've never heard anything like that before. Why do you think Satan has fought tongues so hard? Why is it that some of you in here in this room right now, you've got so many doubts and questions about tongues? It's because you've listened to lies for so long and Satan has kept you deceived. Why? He doesn't want you to grow in God. Oh, I can grow in God without that tongue stuff. So far you can, but I can tell you right now, I can show you in the Word and I can give you living, breathing examples. There's only so far that you can go in God if you don't have a lifestyle of praying in tongues. You will never, now listen closely to me, you will never walk in the miraculous unless you release that anointing within. Now I'm going to give you something to feed on. And you can go into the Word and you can check this out yourself. But I'm not going to give you specific chapters and verses. This will be a challenge to you. The other day I'd been praying in the Spirit. I don't know how long. And then I went and I began to read the Bible. And I opened up and I was reading in the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, God showed me. I mean, it was just there. I saw it. I had read these passages over and over and over again. But now all of a sudden I saw what was happening that I had never seen before. And I'll tell you this much, and you can go home and work on it yourself. Do you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? How that Jesus took James, Peter, and John and they went up there and Jesus was transfigured and became, you know, glistening white. The glory of God came all over him. Moses and Elijah were there with him. What I had never seen before was that during one of those times when Moses was in fellowship with God and God was speaking to him, God actually prophesied to Moses the Mount of Transfiguration. And I had never seen it before. You say, where is it? Go home and find it yourself. He said, that doesn't sound fair. If I just give you the passage and you go home and you look at it, there's a good chance you'll miss it. But if you feast on the Word, there's a good chance you'll find it. Moses, God literally told Moses of that day that was coming. And I had never seen that before. And all of a sudden, it was like, it was there. And it's one of those things, how come I never saw this before? I don't know why, it had never been revealed to me before, but there it was. In black and white, literally. God was telling Moses, there's coming a day, this is going to happen. Folks, God is not going to automatically just cause you to be hungry to meditate. But if you give yourself over to praying in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, because He's going to lead and guide you into all truth, He's going to start pulling you toward the Word. And when He does that, He begins to open the Word to you and show you things in the Bible. He'll explain passages to you that for years you thought, this didn't make any sense. I just don't understand. Why is this in here? I don't understand this, Lord. Tell me why you put this here. He begins to tell you why these passages are there. And He begins to explain what they mean. In fact, what's incredible about this is that the Holy Spirit will actually, as you're reading in the Word, He'll actually take a word and tell you that it does not mean what the English word sounds like. He'll give you the definition. This has happened so many times with me. He'll give me the definition of a word or a phrase. Then I'll go back later and look it up in the Greek or the Hebrew, and it's exactly what the Holy Spirit had told me. Folks, Satan hasn't fought this issue of tongues for no reason. He's fought it because he knows it gives you a greater understanding of the revealed truths of God's Word, and he knows it will take you into a level of a greater anointing that you do walk in the miraculous. And that the things that Jesus prophesied, where he said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, these things begin to happen in your life. Why? Because you're giving yourself over to the source of the anointing, letting Him draw you into the presence of God's glory so that that glory can be built up on the inside of you and released to the people that you come in contact with. Those are truths that Satan has fought so hard to keep hidden from us. And the Holy Spirit is working so hard to get this across to us. He says, turn me loose. Turn me loose. Turn me loose and let me produce in you and through you everything you've become in Jesus.